Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Ancient Sith. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Marker Ragnos. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, students. Welcome to what is my third semester here at the University of Coruscant. Yes, I know last semester wasn't technically on campus, but I looked at the holopad numbers and you were all very attentive. I hope you enjoyed the fantastic history on all of those bounty hunters. I'm less excited that you happened to see me on the run, but I mean, I suppose that was educational also. It just goes to show you that no matter how famous you are, a bounty is a bounty. I'm sure that you already know this from the Holonet, but this semester I'm going to be filming a holodrama. But don't worry, I plan to record lectures while on set just like I did last semester. This time I hope there's a slightly lower chance of being eaten or murdered, though frankly, no chance is what I'm really looking for. Zero. Zero would be nice. It's such a hassle. And while I'm talking about hassles, I should tell you that my Mon Calamari TA from last semester, Tom, I think it was.
Todd, sir.
Jeez. Have you been standing behind me the entire time? I'm trying to teach a lecture up here. Of course I remember your name as Todd. What kind of idiot do you think I am? And who gave you that microphone? Give me that thing. Now get out of here and go find a fountain to swim in. You scared the poodoo out of me with that. Wow. Give me a second. Whew. You know, I really shouldn't be so mean to him. He really did save my skin at that casino at Canto Bite. Well, him and that undercover UFC security agent named Rishi. Why am I telling you all of this? I mean, you all saw the holos from last semester. You know, they really should edit those better. You probably didn't need all that extra junk, but I mean, I guess any chance to see a holodrama star like myself get screen time is good, no matter how long it's been since you've had a hit. I suppose that's about to change, though, with this next one, though. Fingers crossed, if you have them. And don't tell Todd this, but I mean, honestly, that fish is kind of growing on me. That's why he's going to be joining me on the set of the recording of my new holodrama. At a worst case, you know, he can run crowd control over what I assume will be an enormous number of fans looking for a picture with me. But the University of Coruscant doesn't pay me to talk about my upcoming holodrama smash hit. Although, I guess that's technically what they are doing right now. Best not to try to wrap your mind around that. Instead, let's let things expand and go way back in history, a long, long time ago in this galaxy. This semester is going to be chronologically all over the board, from some of the earliest days of the Sith Empire to some of the very recent empires that you're probably all going to recognize. This semester is about the side of the Force that I think we all kinda wish wasn't necessary to keep the balance. Because if galactic history has taught us anything, it's this. If you want Jedi, you're also gonna get Sith. And since doing both sides of the Force is way too much for one semester, we picked the side with the cooler outfits. University of Coruscant, for my third semester, I give you Ancient Sith Lords. All right, before we start, caveat. I don't think every lecture is going to cover an actual Sith Lord. Some are just going to be dark side Force users, but I mean, come on, Sith Lords? That's way too cool not to use as the topic, right? So don't get on the holo message boards and try to correct me. I don't read those. I make Todd do it and then recite back the good comments. It'll just waste his time. Today, we're going to go way back to the days of the Sith Empire. I know this is the first lecture on this, but Sith as a concept is kind of necessary to explain. We gotta get it out of the way. Sith was a red-skinned humanoid race from a planet called Korriban, or sometimes Moribon. They have bone spurs and some facial tentacles and are a striking crimson-red color. About 7,000 years ago, the Jedi were a pretty big deal. They had fought the Rakata in the Force Wars about 20,000 years before that and were generally pretty powerful and getting even stronger. In their search for power, some of them started to experiment with some Force ideas that we would now definitely recognize as dark side abilities. Things like alchemy, designed to try to resurrect the dead, siphoning life, you know, stuff like that. The kind of things that's gonna put you squarely in the dark side camp. Well, the other Jedi didn't like this, and of course there was a fight. They called it the Hundred Years of Darkness, although at the end of it, well, the darkness lost. All the Darksiders had to leave town on a ship with no weapons. The other option was a mass execution, but that's not very Jedi now, is it? So, they get sent out into the unknown regions of space and eventually land on Korriban. Well, this becomes a pretty classic example of what happens when you have an imbalance of power. The ones with power almost always end up subjugating the ones without it. So, these mostly human dark side force users just kind of run roughshod over the local population of red-skinned Sith. About 1900 years of crossbreeding and building a new system of power, and you have the Sith Empire, run by Sith lords who are really just dark side users who are interbred with the local population of Sith. It's now a very mixed planet. And one such mixed individual was Marka Ragnos, the son of a human who was very strong with the Force and a pureblood Sith. Ragnos quickly ascended up the ranks, and when the Dark Lord of the Sith died, it was Ragnos and another Sith Lord named Simus who would fight for the title. Now, there were lots of other Sith Lords or Dark Lords, but there's only one Dark Lord of the Sith. So, Ragnos cuts the other guy's head off. Two fun facts about this particular beheading. One, Ragnos would be famous for not wanting to use a lightsaber. Lightsaber, protosaber, whatever. He just really didn't like them. Instead, he preferred a Sith sword, which was a sword imbued with dark side energy. This is all going to make more sense later. The other thing is that Simus was so well respected that his disembodied head had a seat within Sith leadership and would often be consulted for advice. Now, that's just awesome. I guess his head, you know, must run on dark side fuel or something. So Marka Ragnos, Dark Lord of the Sith, immediately goes to work. He is a political machine. His classic maneuver is to pit all of the Sith's enemies against each other and then clean up whatever scraps are left. While he's consolidating the larger Sith Empire's position in the galaxy, he's doing the exact same thing internally with his personal rivals. He's pitting them against each other and then getting rid of whatever's left. Ragnos runs this play over and over and over until two things happen. The Sith Empire enters a golden age of prosperity, and he's got no personal rivals left to challenge his rule. He is unstoppable. So, you'd think I just told the whole story there in about a minute, right? Well, not with this guy. All Jedi and Sith basically fall into one of two categories. You're either a weapons expert, or you're a Force specialist. That's kind of a big concept that you're gonna see play out over and over here. You either are devoted to mastering combat with your lightsaber, or you're devoted to the ways of the Force to manipulate and control. Marka Ragnos was the Force kind. He didn't even like using a lightsaber, remember? His Sith sword was concealed in a staff that he'd carry, and he showed the sword so rarely that some historians believe it didn't even exist. But his use of the Force was tremendous, and he didn't need that sword. Ragnos was a classic knowledge seeker. He wanted it all, and he was sure that he could find it in the ancient teachings. He learned to draw from the surrounding force and take it internally, making him nearly unwoundable in battle in the rare circumstance where he had to personally put down a rival. He also supposedly could do the most Sith thing of all time. He could siphon the force from a force user, or even a non-force user. But here's the real trick. He could also give it out. With the use of his scepter, he could imbue a being with the force. Now that will put you first in this semester's lectures. I will bet you hard credits that he had a Todd just hanging around crossing his fingers that the boss was gonna pass out a little force bonus along with his paycheck on Life Day this year. You know, just a little force, enough to move a rock or something, just a bit. The other thing Ragnos learned from a little library time was all about the Jedi and how the Sith were just a bunch of misfits kicked out of the party. Ragnos never met a Jedi while he was alive, but he hated them after learning the Sith origins. Marco Ragnos expanded the Sith Empire and was more or less unchallenged, or at least appeared unchallenged because he was so tactically gifted. But he knew there was an enemy out there which had been forgotten. It had been about 2,000 years since his ancestors arrived on a boat with no paddles, aimlessly drifting through space until they landed on Korriban. Ragnos' studies revealed the Jedi, and while he would never encounter one during his years alive, he hated them like a good Sith Lord should. But he kept it to himself. Marco Ragnos ruled for about 100 years and then died of something particularly unique to Sith Lords. He died of old age. Now, that doesn't happen very often with these guys. Not a lot of Sith Lords in retirement homes on Naboo. I'm guessing the Leadership Council probably had a lot more disembodied heads giving pandering advice, because I'm pretty sure Ragnos either killed or manipulated someone else into killing anybody that was a threat to him. So, let's summarize. Insanely powerful Sith sorcerer? Check. Secret weapon inside of his staff? Check. Can suck the force out of anything and give it away like a Life Day present? Check and mate. But this is the University of Coruscant, and you're in galactic history. By the way, do you know how lucky you are? I heard tickets for this lecture were going for 5,000 credits. Todd, how much are tickets for this lecture going for?
10 credits.
What?
I know a guy.
What are you even doing behind that curtain?
Playing Sabacc on my holo.
Well, no surprises there, since I found out that you're a casino whale last semester. Why are you even at this university?
A social experiment.
Whatever. For the rest of you, you're lucky. Anyway, the point is that this class is not just going to accept a crazy powerful guy with a long life to be enough to start off my third semester. No, friends. Marco Ragnos isn't just done with a natural death. You can bet Vader's thermal socks that there's more to him. Marco pulls the ultimate Sith power move and shows up at his own funeral as a force ghost and starts giving advice to the next two Sith in line for the throne. A guy by the name of Naga Sadow ends up coming out on top. Fun fact, Naga Sadow was the apprentice of old Head Najar Simus. Small world, Korriban. Ragnos basically never goes away and hangs out in his tomb on Korriban, meeting all sorts of people over time. It kind of became a thing. If you seek knowledge, well, you might as well go find the guy who really started it all and brought the Sith into their golden age. Marco Ragnos, the Sith who died of natural causes. You know what? I feel like I'm on a roll. Let's bring back an old tradition and get a question from the audience. Yes, you there with the very tall hat.
Yeah, Rav McRollo of the McRollo dynasty. My father, Flint McRollo, says the ancient Sith were too weak to stay in power, and that's why there aren't many around.
Interesting. This feels familiar. What exactly is the McRollo dynasty a dynasty of?
Starship plumbing supplies.
I knew it! That hat is a zero-gravity plunger, isn't it? Well, Rav, I think the thing you have to consider about the Sith is that they aren't in the business of showing off. Let me think about this. Okay, they were in the business of showing their power for a while, as this semester is going to show, but they reached a point where they really kind of figured out who they were after our next Sith Lord, Darth Bane. Ragnos started down the path of bringing the Sith to power, but Bane really refined the Sith, using its strengths in its favor instead of against it. After Bane, one of the Sith's greatest abilities is that of mystery. If you can convince the galaxy that you don't exist anymore, but still keep that fear alive, well, I mean, that's tremendously powerful. Trust me, you're gonna love Darth Bane, and it's really gonna answer that question. And then you can tell your father that while I love his plungers, he might want to listen to this semester's lectures, because I think that he's going to have a greater appreciation for the power and the influence that the ancient Sith had on the galaxy. Oh, man, I nearly forgot. Todd, did my agent call? I'm expecting a call. He said he'd have the name of the holodrama that I'm going to be in. I wanted to tell the lecture.
He did.
Did he tell you the name of the holo?
He did.
And what is it?
I'm not sure this is going to be a good idea for you.
Would you just tell me the name of the holo?
Tauntaunado. Tauntaunado.
Wow. Unbelievable. I've got a great feeling about this.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit theuniversityofcoruscant.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Sunny Ravencourt, and the legal droids behind me... No, I'm not going to say your names. They want me to remind you that if you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and leave a review or a comment. It helps us out tremendously, and it allows the university to continue to provide you the best in Star Wars history. Are you going to pay me for another take? Well, then I'm not going to do one.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.